way down through here in 9 and in 10. And we finished that up last week talking about being all pleasing, of course, pleasing to the Lord, being fruitful in every good work. And we've covered this previously in this very chapter, being fruitful, doing something with our lives, productive, bringing forth fruit unto the Lord Jesus Christ with our lives, and increasing in the knowledge of God, increasing in the knowledge of God. I was reading something today, and it was talking about the knowledge of God. And of course, Proverbs talks about knowledge, and we understand that we should gain knowledge of the Lord. We should gain knowledge about Him by reading His Word, about His will for our lives. Everything that the Lord has for us, we should want to obtain that knowledge. But in the garden, there was a tree, and it was of the knowledge of good and evil. It was a knowledge of good and evil. And we live in a world today where knowledge is readily available. I'm not saying wisdom is readily available. I'm not even saying common sense is readily available. I'm saying knowledge, to learn something about something, is readily available at our fingertips. And yet, people aren't getting better and better because they have more access to knowledge. There is knowledge that we should be ignorant of. Does that make sense? There are things that we should be innocent of, some things. Just because we've heard the world talking about things doesn't mean that you and I need to go find out everything about it. Because there's a lot of garbage in this world. And there's a lot of junk in this world. And I don't know if you've realized this or not, but these brains the Lord gave us, they store a ton of information. Now, I don't know what happened to the part of mine that can recall the information that I want, but there's a lot of stuff that stays up in here. And you know what I found to be more annoying is the things that I shouldn't learn about, that I hear about or see, or things that end up in my brain, those are the things that seem to stick out the most. And the scripture and memory verses and things that I'm trying to recall, that seems to be lost somewhere in the mushy brain matter, right? But we need to be careful of the knowledge that we put into our minds. We need to be careful. I went to public school my whole life, well, first grade through 12th, my whole life, first grade through 12th, and I learned a lot of things, but there was a whole separate portion of knowledge that I gained that I wish I never would have learned. Say about what? Oh, I don't know. Upside down and backwards version of anything good that God established was what ended up in my mind. And we live in a world now where if we're not careful, our minds can be so filled with garbage that we can't think straight for the Lord. We can't pray right for the Lord. We can't close our eyes and stay pure. Why? Just because of the knowledge that we put in our brains. And don't tell, but I might be doing this at the retreat. I might turn this into a sermon for the young people's retreat. And I think it's important because we're not going backwards from our availability for knowledge. But there's a lot of knowledge that we can look up and find and read about and talk to others about. And there's a lot of knowledge we can put in here that we shouldn't be putting in here. Because that it doesn't seem to go away, and except for the Lord's help, it doesn't seem to go away. But the Bible talks about here, it talks about increasing in the knowledge of God. That's the good knowledge. That's the knowledge that comes from His Word and knowing about the Lord. All right, in verse number 11, in verse number 11, he continues and he says, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Strengthened with all might. Now, that's not going to be you and I deciding that we're going to be stronger. All right, this is a strength coming from outside of ourselves. The Bible says it is according to His glorious power. Now, whatever power that I can muster in my life, and I'm not talking physical strength, all right? We're talking about the power of the Lord to do right by Him, to serve Him, to walk worthy of Him. We need the Lord's strength to do that. We need the Lord's power to do that. Something outside of ourselves. We might think ourselves forward, or we might think of ourselves brave until the Lord asks us to do something, and then we can find cowards in all of us. And we need the Lord's strength to do simply what He's asked us to do. To fight sin, to stand for righteousness, to give out a gospel tract, to give us the backbone and the courage and the discipline to do what we should do. And we need that. We need that in and above ourselves. We need that from the Lord. And so the Bible says that's going to come from His glorious power. That's what we need to be able to fulfill verse number 10. Remember, verse number 9 was to be filled with the knowledge of His will, and the Lord will give us that if we're seeking His will. And wisdom and spiritual understanding, He'll give us that if we ask wisdom of God. He'll give it to us. But then verse 10 says that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful, increasing in the knowledge of God. We need His strength to do verse 10. And the Bible says, strengthen with all might according to His glorious power. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And Paul has a little bit longer of an introduction in the book of Ephesians, but when he gets to verse 16, it sounds very familiar to where we are. In verse 16, Paul says, 15, he's heard of their faith in the Lord Jesus and the love unto all the saints. 16, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now here he goes again, 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. That power is wrought in Christ, and when you and I accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, if you've done that, we have access to a power that's not our own. We have access to verse 19, the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Now, we're not talking, you know, hold on, I'm trying to think of something that I don't know very well. Marvel Comics, that's what I'm thinking about. I'm not a comics guy, I'm not a comics movie guy, I'm not interested really in any of those things. But we're not talking about that kind of power. We're not talking about, like, you know, we're going to turn colors green and get super strong. All right? We're not talking about His power to be able to fly through the air. Not yet. Not yet. Someday. Someday, the glorious body, we are going to be a superhero. All right? A real one. All right? But right now, we're not talking about that kind of power. We're not talking about that kind of strength. He will give us the strength to do what He's asked us to do. He will give us the strength according to His power to do, to go through what He asks us to go through. And sometimes I look at other Christians and I say, oh, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do it. And I know that in and of myself, I could not do it. But what happens is you see a Christian go through something and you say, wow, how are they doing that? And you know what? It's His glorious power and His strength working through us. Why? Because that's what He, if He's called us to do it, then He'll give us the strength to accomplish that task. Look in chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3. In verse 14, Ephesians 3:14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." See, his strength is bound up in his Son, and when you receive his Son, you understand that he has given you his Holy Spirit to dwell inside of you if you're saved. He's given you his Spirit. And where does that power come from? The Bible says here that that comes strengthened with might by his Spirit. How? In the inner man. All right? I don't think any one of us are going to be Samson reincarnate. All right? Old Testament Samson is what I'm talking about. Where we grow our hair long, and all of a sudden the Lord comes upon us, and we have great strength and great ability. I don't think the Lord's going to do that. But he is going to strengthen us in the inner man. You don't have to be of a certain size or stature. You don't have to be able to lift a certain amount of weight. You don't have to be male or female to have power in the Lord. He's not concerned about who he gives his power to. He'll give it to anything that needs to be accomplished. He'll give it to a child. He'll strengthen them in the inner man to a child. And it doesn't matter what it is. I've seen some big men, when they're asked to do something for the Lord, shrink and shrivel and hide. And I've seen some children or some ladies, when the Lord's asked them to do something, they've stepped forward with the strength of God and the power of God. And you read the old stories, and you read testaments about you read biographies and stuff about Christians that God has used. And it doesn't matter who or what or where or what they looked like or what their stature was like. I mean, you talk about women that have went into foreign countries and blazed a trail and started orphanages and worked in missionary work with nobody. And they just went, and God was with them, and God gave them more strength than 10 men to do the work that needed to be done. Why? God strengthens in the inner man, and he strengthens with his Spirit. Look in chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians 6, 10. Of course, in Ephesians 6, we start in verse number 11. That's the whole armor of God, and we could talk all about that another time. But verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Well, I have to be strong. I have to strengthen myself, and I'm going to have to... Now, there is something to be said about the strength. There is something to be said about... The more that you're reading the Word of God, the more that you're disciplining yourself and turning yourself from sin, the more you're strengthening those spiritual muscles, right? Not the physical muscles. You're strengthening the spiritual muscle. Bodily exercise profiteth little. There is a little bit of profit to it. There is some. It's not a complete waste. There is some profit to bodily exercise, but it's not the same type of profit as the inner man being strengthened. That is what the Bible talks about. And it says, "And in be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Turn to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. Verse number 1, 2 Timothy 2. Verse 1, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It's the Lord's power. It's through his Spirit. It's his might. As we just read, and here it says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And boy, does he give us his grace. Thank God for it. He makes us strong in his grace to endure what he has for us. I don't know what's coming down the road for each and every one of us. I don't know what that is. I can't stand here with the utmost confidence and say, the Lord is just going to let you just relax your way to glory. I can't say that with confidence. We don't see that promise from the scriptures. But we do have the promise that God will be with us. And his strength and his power and his grace and his might in the Spirit will be with us. He will give us access to that strength, access to that Spirit. And it will be his. 2 Timothy 4, verse 16. 2 Timothy 4, 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. This is the Lord's strength. When nobody else was there, when Paul found himself alone, he said, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. The Lord did it. The Lord strengthened him. If you've ever tried to do anything for the Lord, you've known it to be true that when the Lord has given you something, he's also strengthened you to do something. I've told the story before. I say that a lot, don't I? I guess I tell the same stories. I don't know. But I use that term. I can't remember where I told it, when I told it. So I just say, I know I've told this before, but I'm going to give it to you again. A friend of mine and I were coming back from a meeting in North Carolina. And this friend of mine and I, we stop at a rest area to use a restroom on this long trip. And we get out of the car and we go use the restroom. We're coming back into the car. And as we're getting about to get into the car, here comes a group of bikers that come up and park in the parking lot. And they all drive up, and they're driving up two by two, and they come up. And these weren't like people like me that happened to own a motorcycle. These were like real guys that rode motorcycles. Like, they looked the part. They had, everything was down. Like, wow, that looks like a real beard. Yeah, that's a lot of leather that guy's wearing, right? And so we had just come back from this meeting, and a friend of mine and I, we were fired up about stuff and about living for the Lord, and we see these bikers all pull up, you know, and it's all loud, and here they come, and then they stop, and there's a truck behind them, and they're traveling with them, and we get in a car like this, and I'm like, just don't say anything. Don't even look at them. Don't even look at my friend, because I know what I'm thinking. The Lord's going like this on my heart. Hey, how's it going? And I'm like, oh, I just need to get home. Lord, we have no time for shenanigans right now. Lord, we need to make some good time on the road. So I'm thinking, don't even look at my friend. All right? Now, if my friend was built differently, I might have had better ideas. But the friend of mine that was with me in the side of the car was about this tall. So I'm thinking he's no help. And he might just be dumb enough to say things. So I just get in the car, and I sit there like this, and I don't put the key in, and I'm looking straight ahead. And I kind of, like, you know, peripheral vision, and he's looking straight ahead. And I know what he's thinking. He's thinking, don't even look at him. Mike's going to try to be a hero, all right? And then we just do. All right. And we grab some tracks out of the console. I never said a Hail Mary before. I don't even know if I said the right thing, but I was saying, something. All right, some vain repetition was coming out of my mouth at that moment as I was praying. And so what happened? The Lord said, hey, well, you feel pretty good right now. You feel excited. You want to do something for me? Go pass out tracts to those guys. I'm like, yeah, but see this lady over here with their little dog? Like, I can do that. That I can do. No fear. And the Lord says, nope, go pass them out to them. All right. So I say, okay, you take the one side, I'll take the other side. And no talking, just give them the gospel tracts and let's go and say what happens. Well, as soon as I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. All right, maybe not then. As soon as I opened the door and started to walk towards them, say what happens? The Lord says, it's okay. I'll strengthen you in this. It's all right. I didn't know how it was going to go, but the fear that is inside, the Lord said, no, I'll take that fear. I didn't feel like I was 10 feet tall. I didn't feel like I could have just, you know, went over and arm wrestled one of them. I didn't, none of that. We're talking about the Lord said, give them some gospel tracts. And then the Lord gives you a strength to do that. And so what happened? Well, let me give you a gospel tract. Thanks, appreciate it. Here you go, gospel tract. Oh, nice bike, gospel tract for you. You know, what? Just went down the line, gave out gospel tracts, and then got back in the car. Like, we lived! Nothing happened. They didn't just, like, look on their bike and just go, poosh, you know? Nothing happened scary. Why? Because the Lord said, lays this on your heart, and the Lord strengthens you to do it. And then you find out that, oh, that wasn't that bad. And I don't even think one of the guys even rejected us. I think they all took them. I mean, how often does that happen? Why? It was just the Lord that did it. Why? Because he strengthens us with his might. And it's with his strength. The Lord stood with me and strength. Say, what is that? That's just a silly story, really. I mean, you know, you kind of, in your mind, it swells up into this big thing. But it's not a big thing. It's not a big thing to pass out a gospel tract. It's not. People often, the ones that look scary often aren't scary. Occasionally there's one that looks scary and is scary, but not all the time. And the Lord helps. The Lord helps with that. In Colossians 1, the Bible says in verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power. We looked at this last time here, but look in verse number 9. The Bible says, filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Verse 11, strengthened with all might unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Look down in verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Paul's laying it out there. You and I don't think, I don't think in those terms. I don't think in those terms of all of it, of everything. You know what the human mind does often? As much as is acceptable. If I can just get to that. Now, not everyone's built like me, but in school, you know how I was? What grades are acceptable to my parents? And then I will do just what I need to do to get those grades. It's a B, perfect. All right, A, I have to work harder. A B, minimal work, and I can probably pull this off. My sister's not built like that. My sister's built like come home, open the books, study everything, do the homework right away. Like I need to have an A or I cry. I'm like, A, bonus, nice. You know, C, got to get this up somewhere. It's okay. What is the what is what can I do to get to here? And you know, Lord willing, you grow up and mature, and you figure some stuff out in life, and you try, and you have effort. But in the spiritual walk with the Lord, often our mind goes to what do I think the Lord would be pleased with, and then I'll do that level. Not all pleasing, not all strength and all might, not all patience, not that he has the preeminence in all things. But that's what Paul says. Paul goes right to it. Look in Colossians 3, verse 16. Colossians 3, 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Say, well, doing what? Anything you do, in word or deed. Do all of it. In the name of the Lord, Jesus. And that's the type of Christianity Paul lived. That's the type of Christianity he wants you and I to live. That's the type of Christianity he writes letters to the churches and says, hey, it's all of it. Paul was an all or nothing guy. He was all in on these Christians are ruining Judaism, and I'm going to arrest them. I'm going to put them in prison. I'm going to speak against them so they can be put to death. All in. Not all Pharisees were like that. Paul was. Paul gets saved and realizes the power of the gospel and sees his life change and what God can do. And Paul says, I'm all in. I'm all in on all of it. I'll leave whoever, whatever, I'll go wherever God wants me to go. I'll go do anything the Lord has me do. And we get a little afraid that if we say all, then the Lord's going to tell us to do something crazy. Well, I want to give all of my life to the Lord. I just don't want him to ask me to do anything weird. I just don't want to ask him to, like, make me move somewhere or do something or give up a job or do something. I mean, that's crazy sounding. But giving all of ourselves doesn't mean that the Lord's like, perfect. Now I can just whisk you away to some unknown place. No, giving ourselves to the Lord and giving all to the Lord means that he just has access to use us however he wants to use us. Maybe he does call you and whisk you away. Maybe he says, oh, I have a job for you to do right here where you like living. And the Lord, it just means that he has everything to work with when you give him all. And that's the type of Christian Paul was. That's the type of Christian that he urges here. He says, strengthened with all might in verse number 11, according to his glorious power. Well, strengthened what? The Bible says, and it has this word unto. See that in verse number 11? According to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. All patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now, I know patience. I understand what that, you know, we can talk about having patience, meaning we do good when we wait, right? We don't complain about it. Or we can wait on the Lord, or we can wait on the scenario. We can wait at the red light. We're waiting and we have patience. But really, another definition for patience is to be steady. And to have the patience of the saints is perseverance in our lives. It's to not quit. We can have patience with the things that happen in this life, to not quit. Look in Romans 5. Turn back to the book of Romans, chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse number 1. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The Bible says, tribulation worketh patience, this patience. We serve the Lord and we have some difficulty to overcome, and by God's strength and by his power in our lives, we can overcome and keep going for the Lord and keep serving God. You know what that does? That does something for us. That strengthens us. That's that tribulation. What's tribulation? Tribulation is adversity. It can be of any sort. It can be adversity that you bring on yourself. It can be adversity that someone else puts in your life. It could be adversity that the Lord allows the devil to place a stumbling block there, or place an obstacle in front of you, or say, well, I don't know what to do now. And the Lord says, I'll strengthen you. And there's tribulation in your life. There's tribulation there. You can't get away from tribulation. You can't get away from difficulties in this life. You can't get away from the idea that you're not always going to want to do right, and the Lord urges you to do right, and it's going to be difficult sometimes. You can't get away from that. But tribulation, what's it? It works patience. It allows you to understand that once you get through something and keep serving the Lord, that you say, oh, that wasn't that bad. And the Lord strengthened me to do it. Or, wow, that was bad. But the Lord helped me, or the Lord forgave me, or the Lord allowed me to get back on track, and now I know what to look for next time. Because there's going to be a next time. Amen. And so what happens is you say, instead of being discouraged, the Lord strengthens you, and then you say, I can keep going. I can keep doing this. I can keep serving God. I can keep going forward. Even though nobody likes tribulation. Nobody likes effort. Nobody likes difficulty. If our life could just be without any difficulties, you and I would sign up for it. Amen. We'll take away all obstacles. Well, yeah, sure. But we can see in our own lives, in any aspect of life, difficulties make you better. That's what it does. Difficulties make things better for you. Learning a trade. I was in Bible school and I started working for an electrician. I started to learn the electrical trade. And a lot of it was residential electric for me. Most of my career, I ended up kind of in the resident, working in houses. Done some commercial and some other things, but most of it was working in houses. And we were working in new houses. And so it was just run this wire and do this thing and put this thing together. And you know what I learned? A little bit. I learned, like, how to do it. I learned how I was supposed to put this together with that and then how you're supposed to put these wires together with that. But you know when I really started to learn electric? Is when there was a mistake. And then I had to fix it. Because now, it wasn't just, okay, just do this thing and put it in. It was, uh-oh, now I have to know why this works. Because there's potential here. If this doesn't work right, I get hurt. There's a potential where, okay, I didn't like that. That felt uncomfortable, right? So what did I have to do? I had to learn when there were problems, how could I correct those problems? You know when I started to learn how electrical worked was when I started fixing problems. Because I had to know how it worked in order to make it right, in order to put it together. And you get the wrong wires tied in with the wrong things, and all of a sudden you're trying switches all over the place, and outlets don't work, and you're going, what is happening? When I turn this switch on, you know, the toilet flushes. How did that happen, you know? Not really. But you know, I turn the switch on and all of a sudden the outlets work over here and then the light comes on and then that doesn't work over there. What is happening? And what do you have to know? You have to start taking stuff apart and start putting testers on things and figuring out how to put things back together and how to make it work. That's when you start to learn how to be an electrician, is when you can start fixing problems and you can start fixing other people's problems. Hey, how are you? Yeah, good. I was trying to do some electric. That's never good. Yeah? Yeah, I ran into some problems. Can you come over here and help me figure it out? What's that mean? I did a whole bunch of stuff, and usually I put up all the drywall, and everything looks great, except nothing works. Can you fix it all for me? What do you have to know how to do? Well, you have to know how electric works. Right? I mean, I can take anybody and say, run a wire from here to here. Right? We used to say we could teach monkeys to do that. Just run it to here. But how does it work? What's it take? It takes problems. It takes tribulation. It takes difficulties for you to get better. Anything in life is that way. In the Christian life, you know what? A difficulty comes and you say, oh boy, I don't know. And you say, okay, Lord, this is what you want me to do. This is what you want me to endure. You're going to have to strengthen me. And the Lord strengthens you, and you come through the other side, and you come through, and you go, that was it? Right? Because on this side, it looked like you had to scale an insurmountable problem. But over here, you just had to, like, step over the curb. That's what it looks like from this side, because you're through it. And you say, oh, wow, the Lord really helped me there. And so what can you do? Keep going forward and realizing that he's strengthening you. He's helping you. What? With all patience. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us. So you just got done talking in Hebrews 12, but all this faith that all these Old Testament saints had. And they went through all kinds of problems. I mean, 36, 37, 38. We looked at these verses, and they went through all of this stuff. And he says in verse 12, wherefore? You see how they did it? Seeing what they did? Seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience. There's the patience. The race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Well, the Bible says here, for the joy that was set before him, what kind of joy was that? Endured the cross, despising the shame. Look in verse 3. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. I mean, we think we are. I mean, we can go through something and we think we've had arms cut off and we're bleeding profusely and we're holding ourselves. I mean, we're gonna die at any moment. And the Lord says, you don't even have a paper cut. As the Lord says, you haven't resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You haven't done anything to fight against sin. I mean, you think you have. We get these small victories and we're ready to stand up on top of that victory. And someone looks at you and they don't even see what you're standing on. But yes, I have conquered. You know, we are king of the hill. And what have we done? Nothing. We haven't strived unto anything. We haven't accomplished anything for the Lord. And yet, we're supposed to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us and run with patience. Run with patience. The race that is set before us. I don't know if you've ever tried to make it any sort of distance. I don't care if you're walking or crawling or running. if the distance looks out there far enough, it looks like I'm not going to make that. I can't get that far. There's no way. But what do? You have some patience. All right, I'm going to go. I feel tired. Yeah, I'm not that tired. I can keep going. I'm sucking wind a little bit. Yeah, but I mean, I can still breathe. That's a good thing. And we just go with patience. We just keep going to be steady, to persevere, not quitting. With all patience, and the Bible says, with all long suffering. With all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Long suffering. You know what that means, right? It's just two words, compound word. Suffering and long. Long suffering. I don't like suffering. Yeah, I get it. With patience. Long suffering with joyfulness. Look in verse number 6, 1 Thessalonians 1, 6. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. This is this church at Thessalonica that was worshiping idols. And when they turned from idols and served God, the people around them didn't like them that much. Well, we're all fine if we just all serve the same idols, we all get along. But if you serve God and you turn from idols, then that's when you start causing waves, right? You start rocking the boat. It gets difficult around the family table, around the holidays, when you start serving the Lord and stop worshiping all the idols they're worshiping. It gets difficult. It gets tricky to navigate sometimes. And sometimes they give you some affliction for serving the Lord. And he says, when ye became followers of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction and with joy of the Holy Ghost. There's affliction there. See, the Lord gives us access to all these things. Now, the Holy Spirit gives us access to his strength and his might. It doesn't mean you and I have to use it. You ever seen little children? They're trying to lift something and you say, well, let me help you. No help. Like, well, I'm sitting here watching you. I can tell you're never going to get it. I know it. You probably know it. But you're stubborn. I get it. You get it from your mother. Okay? And you say, all right, go ahead. Help. Okay, got it. Right? And that the access is there. The access to the Lord's strength is there. The access to the patience and long suffering with joyfulness is there. The access is there if we just stop saying, no help. Because, I mean, that's where we get some. Sometimes it's like our own pride. I can do this. I don't need your help. I'm going to make it. Sometimes we don't want to do it. He's saying, come on, I'll help you. Let's go. Come on, I'll help you. No help. Why? I don't want to do it. I don't want to go. I don't want to fight. I don't want to put forth the effort. The Lord says, come on, no, I'll strengthen you. And you know what I'll do? Also, with patience and long suffering, with joyfulness, I'll give you access to joyfulness. I want the help. I don't want the joy. I want to be miserable. I want to be miserable going through this. I want to be miserable trying to fight this thing. I'm going to come through and I'm going to say I did it with your help and I had a terrible attitude. The Lord says, no, I'll give you joyfulness with it. But you got to take it. You got to take it. I mean, really, we're foolish, right? We look back and we go, I didn't have to be that miserable. I mean, maybe I did, but he was saying that I didn't have to be that miserable. And he would have given me some joy while doing that. It's long suffering with joyfulness. 2 Corinthians 8. 2 Corinthians 8. And we'll finish up tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, we do to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power. That's from the Lord. They were willing of themselves. They were willing of themselves. They had joy in their deep poverty. And that joy in their deep poverty led to them sharing what very little they had with somebody who they at least thought had little or less. And they did it with joy in their deep poverty, wondering, I don't know how I'm going to make the ends meet. But I have the Lord, and I'm willing of the Lord, so in all my strength and beyond their strength, in the Lord's strength, they also did something. What was happening? They were strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. You and I can live there. We can live in that verse. We can live in that world, not of our own strength, not of us, you know, getting up in the morning and saying, I can do this, right? It's not self-motivational, you know, get down and do 3 push-ups and then get up and say, I'm ready to tackle the day. No, it's in his strength. If you're going to say, I can do this, get out of bed, put your feet on the floor and say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Outside of that, this is risky. And then get up and go about what the Lord's given you to do for him and all pleasing. And what a blessing. I mean, what a blessing. We have verses like this. We're saved and born again. You can go to Colossians chapter 1 and you can look at that verse and say, I don't feel strong. I don't have any glorious power. Patience, I'm ready to quit right now. Long-suffering, hate it. Joy. And yet, the Lord can help us with whatever he's given us to do, whatever he's asked us to do, whatever he's asked us to fight, wherever he's asked us to be faithful. We can have that victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God for it. All right, let's go ahead and take some prayer requests.